Thank you very much, Matt, for the reading. It's a wonderful privilege to be here this evening as we consider God's Word together. And the reading has been taken from Mark chapter 2, and we read from verse 18 to 22. And I've just entitled the message this evening, Newness in Christ. So there will be a very clear thought for us this evening as we consider these verses. When I spoke to Sam and he said, these are the verses to preach on. I did sort of go, Because there is one key thought, but our Lord, in discussing this with the people, there are a few very, very important thoughts for us in that. But we want to focus on the main thought this evening. The Christian message is a message of salvation and also renewal. As Christians, we don't share a message about moral realignment or moral reform. We are there to focus on salvation and the change that needs to take place within the hearts and the minds of people. That change that only the gospel can bring, that change that only Jesus Christ can bring in the hearts and lives of people. God is not into the fixing game. He doesn't fix us. He gives us complete renewal. I think for many, the Christian message is more about what we shouldn't do, and that we as Christians go out into the world telling people that this is bad, that's wrong, don't do these things. And it's some form of religious realignment. That is not the gospel. John chapter 3 and John chapter 4 follows each other. Logically, yes, it does. But it's also interesting who Jesus speaks to. He speaks to Nicodemus, who is a religious leader, a Pharisee, a teacher of Israel. And then in chapter 4, he speaks to the woman at the well, someone that wasn't very religious, nor someone that was a teacher. But in both those occasions and both those meetings, Jesus focuses on one thing, and that is renewal. That is the fact that both Nicodemus as a religious person or the woman at the well as someone that was a sinner, both of them needed spiritual regeneration and both of them needed to be made new. Paul the Apostle develops this thought further on in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 when he says, those in Christ are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I think it's important for us this evening to hear the words of our Lord and for us to focus on what the gospel truly is. I enjoy the fact that people say to me, you are very religious. And I think to myself, what does that mean? I'm not religious. I don't like the term religion. It is a living relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's something from the inside that has changed. That is what the gospel is. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ said that so often throughout his earthly ministry, focusing on what happens on the inside. In Matthew 23, he even spoke to the Pharisees and said, you're so concerned about cleaning up the outside, but you forget what needs to happen on the inside. That is the most important. And that is why this evening, I hope the message is challenging to us. Yesterday, I had the privilege of speaking at a away day for young adults. And they were all from Reading and all the university, and I'm not a sort of, I wouldn't say a university buff. I don't know what happens there. I'm pretty much a seminary person and a church mouse. But I spoke to them about sort of postmodernism and what's happening in our world. But what I tried to focus on was the challenge for us as Christians. And I spoke to them and used the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And specifically within the Screwtape Letters, what C.S. Lewis speaks about is so interesting. And he sort of in writing the book, it's the big demon Screwtape who writes to the sort of understudy Wormwood, and he encourages Wormwood to try and make the Christian subject that they're trying to constantly tempt, try and get them focused on religious things. Because the trapping within our Christian faith is that it can become religious. We pray for our food only because we have to sometimes. And being South African, you have to pray for your food. Otherwise, you are going to hell pretty much. So you'll find South Africans generally praying for food because you have to do that. But it becomes such a religious thing. We come to church because it's a religious thing. We pray because it's religious. We read our Bible because it's religious. That's the danger. And there are times we need to focus on why we do what we do. And Jesus Christ in this passage highlights the fact of the newness that needs to be emphasized. And not that which is old, that which is religious, that which is not part of God's plan and purpose. So there are three areas that Jesus highlights in these verses. The first one is fasting. Now tonight it's not a sort of Bible study on fasting or clothing or wineskins, but we need to focus on them because when we consider fasting, there's only one biblical fast for the children of Israel, and that is on the Day of Atonement. You'll find that in the book of Leviticus 23. There was only one prescribed fast, and that's the Day of Atonement. And between the seven Jewish official feasts, the Day of Atonement was the most important. Because the Day of Atonement was about a personal process. It wasn't Passover, which was general. Atonement was personal. And on that day, the children of Israel had to fast. But when Jesus was born into this world and in Israel, the Pharisees and the religious leaders prescribed two fasts a week on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And that was religious. That wasn't prescribed in the Old Testament. So when we read here and we see that these the people were saying, well, John the Baptist's followers are fasting and the Pharisees are fasting. Why are your disciples not fasting? It wasn't a religious fast or a biblical fast. It was a prescribed fast by the Pharisees. Fasting is normally a sign of mourning. And the text is very clear that Jesus is saying the bridegroom is with the people, with his followers. Why should they be mourning? They should be rejoicing. When he is snatched away from them, when he is crucified, when he dies and is resurrected and ascends into heaven, then they might fast. Because they are not together in that context anymore. So it's about what is appropriate. It wasn't appropriate for the disciples to fast at that time. Then we also see clothing. We have the new cloth that cannot be sewn into the old garment because then if it is washed, it will pull away. And it's so important because the focus is on the new cloth, that it's a new cloth. Something new. You don't mix the two. It's not appropriate to do so. Then we also have the wine. And the context there, it's a bit of a discussion, a debate. We're not going to get into debates this evening because you could have a theological debate on this. But it would seem that what Jesus is saying is you don't take grape juice and put it in an old wineskin because what will happen to it? It will ferment differently. So the juice that's put in might be slightly fermented or unfermented. Therefore, you don't put it in an old wineskin. Because that's not the process that it needs to go through. It's not appropriate. You don't put the new with the old. So I think the clear thought throughout these verses is don't mix the old and the new. Don't get wrapped up in the old when the new is come. And that's why there are three areas I want to highlight to us this afternoon. And it's very clear, and we can hold on to these. It's going to be new and old, so pretty much we keep with that theme. And first and foremost, I just highlight this afternoon the new and the old covenants, that this passage is really clearly Jesus is sort of nudging people toward focusing on the new covenant that was to come and not hold on to that which is old. Because both covenants, both the old covenant and the new covenant, are good. And I'm very, very focused on that. I don't enjoy the fact that many Christians speak of the Old Testament as a negative. There's nothing wrong with the old covenant. The old covenant is perfect in itself. The old covenant was given to Israel when they left Egypt. It was given to them, that covenant with God's laws that has promises connected to that, that was given to Abraham even before that. But the covenant of the Old Testament, the law and the promises, that is perfect in itself. It's perfect to bring salvation. But the problem was, it wasn't the best for the people because the people failed. But the old covenant was perfect. So Jesus is drawing the distinction between the old, but then also the new. What is the new covenant? The new covenant is what is found in Jesus Christ. The covenant of redemption. Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And the promises connected to that. So many. It's just beautiful throughout the New Testament. So we have this very clear distinction between something that was of the old and something that was new and was to come within the context of what Jesus is saying. As I highlight the fact that the old was perfect, but it wasn't effective because the people failed consistently. And it was part of God's purpose. God's purpose was to have a standard so high of His holiness and righteousness that people will fail. Why? Because that drew us to Christ, according to the book of Colossians. But it still was perfect. But the new covenant in Christ is so beautiful. Why? Because the new covenant brought newness. Gave us the Holy Spirit as a resident in our hearts and lives that gives us the power to live godly lives. Where the old covenant did not have that same dynamic, so people would fail and be aware of their sin constantly and constantly have judgment and condemnation. In the new covenant, we have God's Holy Spirit that draws us to this newness and also empowers us to live a Christian life. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says it's God that works both in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So Jesus is drawing a clear distinction here about something that is new. So the new that's coming in the covenant, so the new part of the garment or the new juice that's going to come that we don't mix with the old. Because the Pharisees were giving all sets of confusions with the old. The book of Hebrews chapter 8. So if you want to know a bit more about that, read Hebrews chapter 8. And specifically in verse 7, the writer of Hebrews and God highlights the fact that the old was not perfect in relation to how it connects to people. Because if it was perfect, you didn't have to bring in the new covenant. So that's in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7. So we have the old and the new covenants. That in this passage we see the clarity of the distinction between the two. But now for us, the next two are very important. Because we also know that in the New Testament and in the old, we have a clear focus on a new and an old heart. Ezekiel 36, from verse 25, God says, "I will take your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh." And that's what the new covenant brings. It brings a new heart, a new desire, a new motivation to live for Christ. Jesus taught renewal. He taught the need for that renewal. He taught the need for a change to take place within our hearts, within our lives, within our minds. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a new heart, a new motivation. It's one that... So I'm trying to use a sort of term that we can maybe relate to. Our heart beats in tune with God's. Because someone that doesn't know Christ, someone that's not saved, their heart beats out of tune with God. They love the things that God hates, and they hate the things that God loves. In Christ, we love the things that God loves, and we hate the things that God hates. That's because of the work that He has done in our hearts. Just being religious can never truly connect us with God because being religious is an external thing. It's about the heart that we need. It's about something on the inside. And the old heart cuts us off from God. The old heart, the old ways, the old way of thinking is completely cut off and separated from God. And many people try and be religious. They just try in their own strength to do those things. But there's no true motivation. Have you ever tried to break a habit? Have you ever tried to stop doing something? It can work. It can happen. But I had the unfortunate situation yesterday. I try not to eat sugar as much as possible. So I try to sidestep certain things. But then there was one brownie left yesterday after the talk. So this lady comes to me and says, there's one left. And I'm saying, I said, no. And I said, no. And she kept following me. And I just had to give in and eat it. And I feel guilty. And I jog. But I really sort of had this feeling, I want to say no, but it's following me. And in the old life, we try and stay away from those things, but we're not always as motivated, and unfortunately it finds us. So Ezekiel 36 speaks of a new heart. And in Christ we have that new heart. A new heart that is reconciled to God. A heart that's not cut off from God. And therefore Jesus is highlighting in this passage clearly that there is newness that must not be confused with the old. There is a new heart, a new way, a new life that needs to be focused on. This is our final thought this evening. Not the new and the old covenant only, not only the new and the old heart, but this is the challenge to us, a new and old life. Christianity is something so different from anything else. It's so different from every other religion, every other philosophy, every other thought. Because it's about a motivation to live a new life. Not because of judgment or condemnation, but because of servitude toward our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says something so direct to us. Because chapter 5 speaks of all this wonderful grace we've been given and the fact that we have peace with God because of what Christ has done. But Romans 6, 1 and 2, Paul the Apostle writes and says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace can become more? And then he says the strong words, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? So that's the challenge to us this evening. We speak about this newness in Christ. We speak about the new life. But is it reflected in our lives personally, daily, in our family, where we work, the people we know? What is reflected in our lives? I think the greatest challenge that we have in the UK, especially, is the fact that life seems very compartmentalized. We have work, we have play, we have church. And people struggle with the flow of Monday to Sunday, that is the fact that every single day needs to be lived for God's honor and glory. Things are often put in little boxes. And the Christian life is a 24/7 process of living for God's honor and glory. We cannot live split lives. We cannot have moments where we say, well, in this context, I will be able to kick my shoes off. I'm on the plane, I'm going to Mallorca, and therefore I can have a bit of a downtime from my Christian life. And then people go on holiday and they do things they would not normally do. That's not living for God's honor and glory. And therefore, the whole focus of what Jesus is saying is there's newness, it's a new life. And it needs to be reflected. The old life, what is the old life? Because often we have these Christian sort of jargon terms of old life. But the old life is the life that is drawn away from God, that is distracted by this world, that's focused consistently on things outside of God's plan and purpose. And even as Christians, we never get rid of that potential to go back to that place of being distracted, of being consumed by things that don't matter. And time is so vital. To try and talk about money and houses and cars, it becomes an old discussion. I want to focus tonight on time. What are we investing our time in? Does God always get the back end of the cake? Does He always get that 5 minutes before I have to go to bed and I'm really tired and I'm going to just read a psalm? And pray, and then wake up the next morning still praying because I fell asleep? Is church always like that? Okay, we have to go. When Jesus Christ has given His all, and then we come before Him and we say these words like, He's wonderful, He's glorious, He's fantastic, but He always gets the broken toaster. Why do I share that? I was part of a church in South Africa that we dealt with needy people. And we ourselves as the church was needy often. So we would say, please, we need a new microwave. And then someone goes, And they come to the church as a young student. I had to go fetch the microwave from the back of their car. I take this big old microwave out. You know the one with the very thick sort of plate, glass plate. It's like that thick and you've got to carry it. It doesn't work, she says to me, but maybe someone can fix it. And that's stuck with me. Why? Because it's a mindset. God always gets the broken toaster, broken microwave. The minister has to have the broken car. God always has that time. We get to the dentist half an hour before because we don't want to be late. We rush into church 15 minutes late. We come to church to leave. And that's why Jesus is saying the old life and the new life, we mustn't mix the two because it's going to tear. It's going to burst. And the New Testament is clear. We can't get away from the old life. I know that. But we must strive toward living in the new wine, the new cloth, the celebration in Christ. Because the old life draws us away and we're consumed with everything other than things of God. Time, money, family, whatever it might be, all those things need to be brought under the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the new life? The new life is drawn to God, focused on Him, and in tune with Him. And that comes by prayer and reading the Word. We become in tune with God. And that's the challenge to us tonight, to be a church that is different, a church that is focused on, with our time, with our resources, with our praise, to constantly be glorifying Christ, to constantly be focused on living the new life. And if we fall into sin, we repent and we move forward. It's not a case of consistently having a long lip and being feeling guilty consistently and beating ourselves up. If we make a mistake, repent and move forward. And as a church body, we must forgive each other, because often we say we all sin and someone sins and people are shocked. The person next to you will say something that's not nice sometimes. They might park you in, and parking is a problem. And you'll think, but how can that happen? That happened to me this afternoon before I came. I came around the corner and the lady wanted to reverse into a parking. I didn't know that. So I just went and she was blocked in. And then she starts getting a bit upset. But I don't know. So sometimes in church, someone will say something and they didn't understand, but it hurts. But let's repent, let's forgive, and let's move forward, because that's the new life. So in conclusion this evening, are you living the new life? Am I living the new life? Are we connected to God truly? Other than the church building here, which is beautiful, but other than the building, other than just the fellowship here this afternoon cannot be our connection with God. Our connection with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our connection. He's our focus. So are we living the new life? Are we connected to God truly? Or if you are here this evening, have you found that new life in Christ that only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ? So let us try and avoid mixing the old and the new and focus on living in the new. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace this evening, we thank and praise you for your forgiveness, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your truth. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for purchasing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for laying down your life willingly for us. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us and strengthen us, that you will help us to be wise in the whole process of living for you. Because we know, Lord, that your word promises that, Holy Spirit, your work within us draws us to what is right. But often we fail to do that. So we pray, Lord, this evening, that you'll help us to see things for what they are, that we'll be consistently connected to you and live for your honor and glory, that we'll set aside those things that often trip us up or stop us from serving you, that we will live in newness, that what we talk about, what we think, how we live, will be about that newness and that freshness and the beauty that comes from you, that we will abstain from all appearance of evil and consistently just focus on you. Help us to be those new garments, to not mix with the old. Help us to live in that newness and not be consumed by the old. As we commit ourselves to you tonight, we pray that you will guide us and just keep us focused in all areas of life. In your wonderful name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.